for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Memorial Weekend Deliverance Seminar, Friday evening, May 23, 1980, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Wynn Worley is the teacher of the evening. This is tape one of two tapes of this service.
If the morning meeting gets over by 2:30, we'll start another one. If it doesn't get over, we'll discontinue from 2:30 on. You can come and go at your discretion, but today it did last till 2:30 or 3:30. Just kept lasting. Praise God. Well, Glenn said this is not a church, so we're not very churchy.
Right.
We're all churched out, really. We just have meetings all the time, Holy Ghost meetings. That's
go
the best.
To church, you can go to your church. This is not your church.
This is Holy Ghost meetings. We don't know how the Lord's going to move. Now, Brother Worley, he's going to sing for us and teach us some new worship music, and his wife's going to play, and we're going to put him on at 8 o'clock. Are you in shock or anything about do you have a lot to say tonight? He does. Yes. Well, come on. Are you going to move this?
No.
Thank you for coming, and we'll see you all tomorrow. I don't know who's going to speak in the morning. You, Glenn?
Haggard's going to carry on where he left off, or
you know, isn't this my pet name for Doug? Well, I have him a pet name, and I have all of them a pet name. My pet name for Dr. Haggard is the horse doctor. He's a veterinarian, but boy, he's a good one. He promises to bring shots for our dogs every time, but never shows up with the
The demons are also very much aware of Dr. Haggard. They very often say, Haggard, go back and doctor dogs. Leave us alone. So, praise the Lord. It's good to be back in Arkansas, and I bring you good news from all across the country. From Ohio, from New York City, from east to west, to north to south, down on the Gulf Coast of Texas, deliverance is moving. It's exploding like there's nothing the demons can do to stop it. They're crying out in desperate terror all over the land because it's tearing up the turf. I had a call from a principality in New York City. I'll tell you about it in a little bit. Just this Tuesday, and he harangued me on the phone for 45 minutes. He was very upset. And he said, we want you out of the ministry completely, Worley. We want you stopped. We want you out. What do you want? I said, I've got what I want. And he said, well, you can have everything you want here, or you can just have hell on earth, whichever you prefer. I said, well, just let out all the stops, big boy, because we're going to mix it up. And I bring you good news. God's army is rising all across the country. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. It's coming. Just this last Sunday in our services, Sunday morning, we were just singing a nice worship song that I'm going to sing for you that came from Missouri. And it's spreading across the land, too. And it was given by the Holy Spirit to a man in Missouri, and we picked it up, brought it back, and been singing it across the land in the meetings. And while we were singing this, a demon exploded, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. And we just kept singing for about 15 minutes while the workers cleaned house. And we just went on with the song service. It's a song called I Believe in the Lord. It goes like this, very simple. You'll pick it up in a little bit.
From high above, I believe in the Lord. Jesus is the one who paid it all. Without him there's no hope for me at all. The Father sent his Son, the victory is won. Jesus is the one who paid it all. I believe in the Lord. I believe in his word. I believe his love was sent from high above. I believe in the Lord. The Holy Spirit came to take his place, to help his children win the daily race. Greater things than these shall you do in my name. The Holy Spirit came to take his place. I believe in the Lord. I believe in his word. I believe his love was sent from high above. I believe in the Lord. Now try the verse. Jesus is the one who paid it all. Without him there's no hope for me at all. The Father sent the Son, the victory is won. Jesus is the one who paid it all. So I believe in the Lord. I believe in his word. I believe his love was sent from high above. I believe in the Lord. The Holy Spirit came to take his place, to help his children win the daily race. Greater things than these shall you do in my name. The Holy Spirit came to take his place. I believe in the Lord. I believe in his word. I believe his love was sent from high above. I believe in the Lord.
And then there's another psalm that we continue to sing, and it's catching fire across the land, the new Bill Gaither song, The Rain Song. Play it, honey. You know it, sing along with me.
The turtle dove is singing the sweet song of morning. The leaves on the trees turn the silver cups up to the sky. The silent clouds up above are beginning to gather. This barren land is thirsty and so am I. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of our Father. He's saying, whosoever will come drink of the water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning to rain. A young man's eyes start to shine as he tells of his vision. And the old understand what he sees, for they've dreamed their own dream. With the thrill of being alive, they reach for each other. And they dance in the rain for the joy of the things that they've seen. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of our Father. He's saying, whosoever will come drink of the water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning to rain. At the first drop of rain that you feel, you'll open the window. Then call all the children together, throw wide the door. When the rains of the Spirit are falling, fill every vessel. For he who drinks his fill will thirst no more.
Sing it out.
It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of our Father. He's saying, whosoever will come drink of the water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
I want you to stand up and sing that chorus one more time. Stand up and stretch. You're kind of tired. Stretch your arms up like this, it'll rest you. Now while we're doing that, it's beginning to rain.
Hear the voice of our Father. He's saying, whosoever will come drink of the water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. It's thirsty and dry, look up to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
All the people said,
amen.
You may be seated. Praise the Lord. As I said, I bring you good news. The enemy is in full retreat everywhere. He is being attacked and attacked and reattacked, and he is really getting panicky, believe me. Deliverance works are springing up everywhere, in homes, and in a few churches that are opening the doors. And it's just amazing what's happening. Procter & Gamble is in full retreat. They hired Newsweek to write them a cover-up article, and they released to the Associated Press a hush-hush on their witchcraft symbol that's on every product to Procter & Gamble. And you need to get that stuff out of your house and call Procter & Gamble. Let me give you the numbers. Toll-free at... No, we've got a new one. They disconnected 1-800 number, and we got another one. 800-582-0345. Let me repeat it. 800-582-0345. Now, if you can't get through on that number, don't hesitate to call. Here's a collect number you can call. 513-562-1100. 513-562-1100. They'll accept collect calls on that number. We're not supposed to know that, but that'll teach them to disconnect their 800 number. All right. Now, if you don't know what we're talking about, the Procter & Gamble trademark is a man in the moon, just like the one on the tarot card number 18. It has 13 stars and it's in a circle. It's a witchcraft coven symbol. This was shown to one of our ladies in the thing. We had heard nothing from anybody else, but some other Christians across the land have also been alerted. God is calling people to revolt against this stuff. You see, if you bring an accursed thing into your house, an abominable thing in your house, the curse that's on that will come into your house also. And Procter & Gamble put out everything from Duncan Hines cake mixes all the way to Charmin Crest toothpaste, Head & Shoulders, you name it. We got a complete list, by the way. They also, for the past 2 years, they have won the dubious honor of sponsoring more pornographic and filthy TV programs than anybody else on the whole horizon. So it's time they got hit and hit in the pocketbook. Since we've begun a one-man crusade across the country and getting people to call in and protest and tell Procter & Gamble they're quitting Procter & Gamble or they changed their logo, Procter & Gamble has put on a massive sales campaign. They've written up one letter, and that didn't do it. Now they've got a... by the way, when you call in, tell them you're calling in to protest their trademark, and they'll take your name and address and send you their explanation. If you can swallow their explanation, you can believe anything. Because that thing just happened. They'll say it's been that way 150 years. That's a lie. The first thing they put out told the truth. That symbol has not been that way for till relatively recent times. But if you can accept their story, well, write in and get it. It'll cost them a lot of money to mail it out. Yeah, she called me too. They tracked the line to his lair. And she called me about it and wanted to know what I was upset about. And I told her. Of course, she didn't understand it. And I said, and if you don't do something about it, I'm going to have to continue to warn the people across the nation. And I said, you know, I travel quite a bit. She said, oh, yes. We're getting calls from all over the United States and Canada. They know exactly where I've been traveling because everywhere it's exploding and people are calling in. And what you do, you go in and you cut all the trademarks off the Procter & Gamble products you have, use them up, and then quit Procter & Gamble and switch. And when they get hit hard enough in the pocketbook, they'll do something about it. As a matter of fact, she told me, she said, well, if enough people get upset, we may have to do something about it. Praise God. All right. We got some dirt on Pepsi-Cola, too, but we'll give you that later, maybe. All right. It's time that we rose up and boycotted some of these things that are deliberately flaunting God. And that's what it is when you bring a witchcraft symbol into your house. The devil is on the move. We need to boycott all these fantasy movies like Star Wars and the Empire Strikes Again, which has just been released and has been a smashing success. I understand this week it just was re-released in Chicago. It has bigger crowds than the Star Wars did. Friend, that's fantasy, and if you feed on that, you're opening yourself to demons. Just like the Chronicles of Narnia and all the rest of the garbage that has been put out by J.R.R. Tolkien, that stuff is pure witchcraft. And if you open up to it, you're not wise. You say, well, I can look at it and it doesn't bother me. Don't be too sure. The very fact that you're so drawn to go and see it or go and dig into it may indicate there's something in you wants to be fed. If you want to feed that tiger cub and grow him into full-size Bengal tiger, you can do it. He may be a little fella now, but he sure will be hard to handle when you feed him. You better not feed him. Starve him. And then throw him out in Jesus' name. Now, before I get into the message proper, I would like to take just a few minutes and tell you something very significant, I think, that happened. I think the last time I was here, I mentioned to you that, of course, many of you were aware that the Illuminati had set a date in October to freeze all checking and savings accounts and throw the nation into a financial tailspin, which would be followed by the issuance of new money. They first said they would issue 21 of their bills, new bills, different colored money for 20 of yours. And then another latest report we got is about 50 to 1. And so they're planning to get you one way or the other. Now, this was planned for October. We heard about it. Other people heard about it. We called across the nation and alerted people who knew how to pray, how to bind and loose spirits. And we attacked in the heavenlies. Our church poised for a massive attack. We hit them in the heavenlies, and a lot of other Christians who knew how joined us, and they were stopped cold. They couldn't do a thing. They were frozen. In November, they set another date. We found out about it. God sent somebody from Washington, D.C. to our church, and they stood up and told us about it. Said it's coming again. So again, we attacked. Again, they were stalled. The first part of this year, I was up in Canada, northwest Canada, in Vancouver. And I was dealing with a demon who was a world ruler. He looked at me and he was cursing me and calling me a lot of nasty names. And he said, Worley, we hate your guts. He said, we're going to wipe you out. He said, you quit going across the country telling people that an avalanche of deliverance is coming. He said, you quit that. He said, you terrible man. He said, don't you know that that would ruin everything? And he looked at me and said, you do know, don't you? And I said, mm-hmm. He said, well, you fool, he said, before we would allow that to happen, we will collapse the banks and throw this whole economic system into disaster and throw the country into World War III before we will allow deliverance to come. Now, that's what the spirit world thinks about deliverance. Did you know that they're not really concerned about a lot of other piddly-poot religious stuff that's going on? They could care less about these multi-million-dollar cathedrals piercing the sky. That doesn't bother them in the slightest. But you get out on the floor and throw out demons, it scares the daylights out of them. You're rocking the boat. You're dynamiting the foundations. A lot of people are shooting pea shooters at the roof. Brother, when you get under it with a crowbar of deliverance, you're wrecking the whole superstructure. Now, a lot of preachers don't know that. A lot of churches and a lot of Christians are unaware of it. But I'm telling you the truth. I've been across the country in the universe of Christ. Stop that deliverance. Stop those books. Stop those tapes. Well, this demon roared on at me, and he was talking about we're going to destroy everything. I said, I thought you were going to do that last year. He looked kind of strange. He said, yeah. He said, we had everything set up a couple of times. Something happened. I said, I think I know what it was. He said, yeah, you and that blankety-blank church. You're always interfering. You and those other dumb Christians. He said, but Worley, said, you can't just hold out forever. You can't just brace it up forever. I said, don't count on it. We're recruiting new help every week. Week by week, we're raising up new army, new people to shoot into the heavenlies. Well, they do get disturbed. What I'm telling you people is that this business of binding and loosing spirits, you listen closely to what Dr. Haggard has to say. Not about me, because he sometimes tells things that are not right. But when he gets on binding and loosing spirits, listen closely. For God has given this man a peculiar and wonderful revelation concerning this area of warfare. What I'm simply trying to get you to see, people, is that this battle is crucial. This is the one. This is it. If deliverance does not come, there is absolutely no hope for this nation. We are that far gone. We're not almost there. We're hanging over the cliff right now. And if deliverance doesn't come, there is no way that the thing can be stopped, even slowed down. Now, last Tuesday, I was in the office of the church. The phone rang. And it was a little Latino boy, 17 years old, Joe Garcia. He called me from New York City, and he began to talk. He said, I'm tormented since I was 9 years old. I've been in the occult and Satan worship. I am tormented. I'm going crazy. I don't know what to do. I'm a Christian. I know what I ought to do, but I cannot do it. And he went on and on with the usual horrible problems. He said, I'm all burnt out on all that drugs and all the mess that I was in. I want to be free. More than anything else. I said, well, son, how did you hear about me? He said, that's a strange thing. He said, I was on the subway the other day, and a man walked up to me that I'd never seen before. He handed me a slip of paper with your name and phone number on it and said, this is a man of God who can help you, son. Call him. And turned and walked away. He said, I never saw him before nor since. That's an angel, people. God's angels are busy. Whether people like it or not, whether they know it or not, they are moving. They sometimes look like people. The devil has some like that too. Be careful. But anyway, this boy, we talked on, and I said, well, I told him about a church that was near him where he could get some help. And I gave him, he took down the name, the address, the phone number, and everything. And I said, now I'll be there next month. I'll be there next month, and I'll see you then. But you go there and get some help now. So he said, okay. And I said, well, let me see if I can bind those things up that are tormenting you so before we hang up. And I started binding the things, and they started exploding and coming out. They started screaming and coughing and everything else on the other line for a long time. And then when they finally settled down, we got them all bound down quiet. He thanked me. He said, ooh, wow, something's happening to me. I said, yep, you're right. And so we bound them all up, and then I hung up. About 5 minutes later, the phone rang. A voice with a heavy Spanish accent on the other end said, Pastor Win Worley. I said, yes. You're a dead man. I said, oh. He said, why do you keep doing this to us? Why do you keep bothering us? Why are you harassing us all the time? I said, well, who are you? I had a sneaking notion. It turned out, it was a principality in this boy. Now, principality is pretty high. Under him, in this same boy, he had 747 chief princes, 7,000 princes, 2,000 legions. Now, you figure that up. A legion is over 6,000. Now, that's in one boy. That's why I know that some people who have been in the occult have not been delivered yet. No wonder they're leaving their wives. You're welcome. Listen, you don't get people free that quick. It doesn't unwind that easily. The devil does not give up with a wave of the hand and a high old, hearty high old silver and away into the sky. Friends, you've got to get on to business and plow those things out. This principality went on to rave and scream at me. First he said, what do you want? What do you want? We'll give it to you. I said, I have just what I want. You know, nothing like a good fight. Well, he went on and on, and he'd break into cursing, and he'd race off into tongues, and I would pray in tongues. He said, stop that! I said, well, you started it. Now, this went on for about 45 minutes on the phone. He said, I'll tell you what, Worley, I'll prove to you that I'm telling the truth. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I said, no. He said, in 5 weeks, this was last Tuesday, there'll be war with Iran. I said, is that so? He said, you'll find out I'm telling the truth. I said, we'll see. He said, there'll be bombers up and down the East Coast, bombing the East Coast of the country. I said, bombers from where? He said, from Cuba, stupid. I said, no. I said, well, thank you very much. Now we know what to bind and loose. See, we'd just run into the spirit of war a couple of nights before in southern Illinois, and he was raging about what all he was going to do, too. The spirits of war don't care for our church either. We've been binding them regularly. I'm telling you, people, we have authority over these things. We need not put up with it, and we're fools if we let it go.
Amen.
And if we're stupid enough to let the devil get us off track and piddling around with a bunch of other piddly-poo things, we better get on the job and start binding and loosing. And this world ruler over in Vancouver was screaming at me. He said, we hate you. We've got to get rid of those stupid books and those dumb tapes. And above all, we've got to get rid of you and that ignorant church of yours. And all the stupid fools across the country that believe like you do. I said, well, there's not very many. Just a few people, a few thousand books. He looked at me and said, Worley, you know it doesn't take very many. I said, you're absolutely right. You're right on. Back to this principality. He told me that watch 1981, Worley. That's it. By 1981, he said, we'll have everything sewed up. He said, the Illuminati will be front page news. Everybody will know about it because by then it'll be too late to do anything about it. We'll have complete control. And he said, bloody persecution will come against you, Christians. Said, we'll get you then. He said, the young people will go into the wildest rebellion yet. Drugs and every rebellion and bloodshed, everything's going to fly apart by 1981. Said, that's it. That's the target date. I said, thank you very much. We shall proceed to attack on that level and bind those spirits. You see, you can change the course of things. God wants it changed. If we sit on our religious hands and do nothing, we deserve what's coming. I'm urging people to come out of the trenches, fix bayonets, and charge. Attack. He went on to tell me. He said, we've already got Derek. He said, we killed his wife. I said, no. I said, I understand he's coming back. He said, well, he's not. I said, don't count on it. We're praying for him. And other people are praying for Derek Prince to come back into the deliverance mainstream. We need his voice. And every bit of news is encouraging. I was dealing with a demon in another place, and the demon screamed at me and said, don't you get Frank Hammonds in this place, Worley? I said, oh, I don't know. We probably will one of these days. No! We hate him. And he said, and Prince. Oh, I said, Prince. Said, we all hate him. I said, I don't know. I like Derek. I imagine he'll be here one of these days in Hegrish. He said, no! I said, what are you so afraid of him for? He's not doing deliverance. He's off in another field over there. No, he's not, said two nights ago. He was 6 hours in deliverance, Worley. I said, thank you very much. That's what we've been praying for. You can't take that bird dog out of Prince. He's got it. He'll come back. You know something else we're doing, people? We are praying for Jimmy Swaggart. We're praying for Jim Baker. We're praying for David Wilkerson. We're praying for Ralph Wilkerson. We're asking the Holy Spirit. We're loosing revelation. We're loosing wisdom. We're losing counsel. We're losing understanding on those men because they are men of God and they have a blind spot where deliverance is and they're deadly foes of deliverance. But they won't be when the Holy Spirit shows them it's true. They'll swing all their weight in behind it. And we need to pray for those brothers. Amen? Wouldn't you want them to pray for you if you had a blind spot? Everybody can't be perfect like us. No, but seriously, pray for these men of God. Pray for Pat Robertson. He does know. And he's moving ahead. Pray for those those seven cassettes, video cassettes that were shot at Hegwisch in December. They're too hot to handle. They're sitting on the shelf. They won't release them on the 700 Club. But we've got an edited version of them, and I suspect they'll go over the Pittsburgh station later on this year. So praise the Lord. Just keep praying. And pray for Pat Robertson and his protection, because he's attacking. Bill Gothard is attacking. He's attacking the Illuminati. He's attacking the world system. He's telling people to throw garbage out of their house, get rid of the occult, and watch out for demons, because they're attacking on every front. This is the latest Gothard seminar. He's coming down the line. So praise the Lord. Pray for Pat Robertson. He's busy binding and loosing spirits. I spent 10 minutes talking with him, and he was very interested about loosing spirits. He'd never heard of that. But he's been doing it on this program. Ever since then, he's moving into the battle. More and more. He's already always been in the battle. Now he's moving with new authority. We need to pray for these people. The demons told me, he said, we got Derek. We got Basham. I said, what'd you do to him? He said, well, he tore his car all to pieces. I said, really? I said, how'd you do that? He said, well, it wasn't hard. I said, we got a bunch of drunk idiot kids, and they smashed in, tore it all to pieces. He said, oh, he'll get it fixed. He said, it's a lot of harassment. It takes a lot of time. I said, we're praying for Basham, too. He said, and Pastor Broke's son. I said, we got them, too. I said, oh. I said, we're busy praying for them, too. He said, you're always messing around and bothering things. Leave things alone. Leave us alone. I said, no way. Well, we moved. He kept on talking about me dying all the time. Every once in a while, he'd fly into a rage. And, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. And I said, you leave Joe Garcia away alone? Said, he is supposed to be a deliverance minister, and you stay away from him. I said, you better work hard, demon, because when I come to New York in July, I'm going to lay hands on that boy and load him with every gift God's given me. I'm going to pour it on him. He screamed at me over the phone, don't you dare, we'll kill you. I said, you better work hard between now and then. I'm coming. He said, we'll kill you. We'll have him put a knife in your back. I said, oh. I said, you keep talking about killing me, demon. I said, you know, I've had several prophecies that told me that I would in no wise come home until my work was finished. I said, have you ever thought about the fact that if you happen to slip past these angels and actually kill me, that the Lord would raise me from the dead? That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? There was a long silence on the phone. The demon said nothing. And then he started spluttering and cursing again and screaming in tongues and the curses of Lucifer upon you. And I said, go right back on you. I don't want them. And he went on and on and on. What I'm simply trying to tell you people is this. I don't want you to focus on me. I'm just one of the workers. But the ministry is the thing that the enemy is terrified of. This principality told me, said, you stop. Said, you are destroying the kingdom. You know, the reason I stop and laugh every once in a while is because first place is kind of funny. In the second place, I was in deliverance and I stopped and laughed like that, and the demon said, shut up! Don't laugh! Said, those laughs are on those stupid tapes. Said, this idiot has been listening to them all day long. And said, we hate that laugh. We just, ooh! He said, it's just horrible. I made a note to laugh more. What I'm simply saying is this. The tapes that are going out from our place and from many places across the country and from Lake Hamilton and other places carrying the message of deliverance are blasting the foundations from under the devil's tent. He's running scared, people. He's running scared. I pinned the demon to the wall, and I said, can you really kill me? Can you? Come on. I don't want to talk about it, he said. I said, can you kill me? Come on, speak up. Maybe you can frighten me. He said, oh, no. Said, that's the one thing we haven't been able to do. Said, if we could ever find out how to scare you, Worley, we'd have you. And I said, how about killing me? He said, you know we can't. You'd be dead a long time ago. But I said, we'll keep trying. Now, to give the devil credit, he does not give up easy. I want you to focus on the ministry because it's Jesus' ministry. It isn't Win Worley's ministry. It isn't anybody else's ministry. We're all just involved. I'm just one of the servants. But I'm telling you people, this is the ministry of the hour. It's going to gradually take over everything. There's coming a day when evangelism will come through deliverance, healing will come through deliverance, and deliverance will come through deliverance, and nothing else will stand. Everything else is going to be wiped out. All of these little lovely ministries are going to flutter out like a bunch of butterflies. They're going to be gone. Deliverance is the only one that's going to stand. If you want to get something that's lasting, you better get in the deliverance channel, because she's the only one that's going to make it all the way to the end. You say, I guess you think you're puffed up. No, I'm just glad to be in the middle of the stream. Come on in. The water's fine. It's not restricted. You know, some of these ministries are restricted. You can't be there because you're not talented. You're not called. Let me tell you of a ministry that's not crowded at all. Has tremendously simple entrance requirements. Those who believe in my name shall they cast out devils. You say, well, that sounds good. You suppose we could find any? Yeah, there's a few still running around. There's no danger of you running out of business. Praise the Lord. But I want to share those things with you to let you know that God is moving. He's keeping His word. The devil is a liar. The rumors about his invincibility and the unbeatableness of the demons are greatly exaggerated. He can be had. Come out of those theological pillboxes of theological safety. Come out of those trenches. The big old tank lumbering over there. And it stopped and squealing the gun around. Most everywhere I go, I find the troops going down like this. Oh, dear, you suppose we can hold out faithful to the end? You know what I tell them? Fixed bayonets, troops. We're going to charge that thing. Blow the treads off of it so it can't get away, and then we're going to take a can opener and open it up and see what's in there. We have the authority. We have the strength from Jesus Christ if we'll take it. And I hope you'll get mad as all get out at the devil. If I can make you mad at the devil, you quit getting mad at each other and you start fighting the real enemy. You know, one of the big problems that we face, this dreadful, dreadful thing, can a Christian have a demon? But a Christian, a born-again Christian, cannot have a demon. That's what you hear. It's not what the Bible says. It's not what experience proves. But that's what's being taught on every hand. Turn in 1 Corinthians 5, please. You may want to get a pencil because we're going to go rather rapidly through some scriptures. Can a Christian have a demon? Can a spirit-filled Christian have a demon? You bet. Matter of fact, they're prime targets. The devil's got the rest. Let me just mention one thing to you right quickly as an introduction before we even get into the scripture part. When you got the thing about the problem about demons being in Christians arises mainly from a misunderstanding about salvation. When you ask Jesus to come in your heart, you're born again. You get saved. Tell me something. What you are, body, soul, and spirit. Tell me which part of you is saved, the spirit. Because you're still having trouble with your mind. You're still having trouble with your body, right? Okay? Your soul is made up of your mind, will, and emotions. You're still having trouble with those, aren't you? Body, soul, spirit. In the body, you're having trouble. In the soul, that's mind, will, and emotion. You're still having problems, right? Okay? If you're honest, and of course you're trying to flim-flam us, you might tell us you're not. But most Christians are honest enough to say, well, in my mind, will, and emotions, I'm still having problems. Now, the Spirit is the one part that's sealed. The Holy Spirit, according to the Scriptures in Colossians and other places, becomes the earnest of the inheritance. He sealed our spirit against the day of redemption. The Spirit is very likely located right here at the base of your skull, right at the top of that spinal column, right in that area. It's a central, where the central nervous system comes out of the brain. It's a good control center. And there are indications that that's where it is. But at any rate, that's the part of you, your spirit, that's sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the earnest of that. It has sealed unto the day of redemption. That's what the Scripture says. We've even checked this from the enemy. The enemy has confessed repeatedly. Even though they would say the person's not saved, they're not born again, when we forced them to the wall and made them admit, I said, look over to the Spirit and see what you tell me and tell me what you see. They said, there's a seal there. I said, reach out and touch it. He said, no! You know we can't touch it. They can't touch it, friend. They can't undo it. But I'll tell you something else we've learned. They can try to smother it. And they'll layer around the Spirit to keep you moving from moving freely in the Spirit. Now, your spirit was sealed. The place where the demons are operating is in your soul. Mind, will, emotions, and that affects the body. All right? Now do you see how you can be saved and still have an area that's out of control at times? Not all the time, but part of the time. Some of these people who say you can't have a demon, you know, what they're saying is we just got wiped clean. Let me tell you something. If your skin was brown, black, or white when you got saved, it stayed that color when you got saved. Didn't it? There was no change. And a lot of other things stayed the same. And if there were demons there, people, they did not automatically come out. They took a back step. I love to, in deliverance, when I get a hold of a demon, I say, you remember the day he got saved? Yes! It was a horrible day. I said, oh, really? He said, oh, he thought it was great. Fool. We told him, don't do that. He did it anyhow. Then I say, you remember the day he got baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes! That was just as bad. They know, people. They're in there. Whether people like it, whether they acknowledge it, doesn't make a whole lot of difference. The devil's not in the business of publicizing his business, but God is. God's ripping the covers off so we can get at these things. And you're not going to gain anything by denying what's obviously true. Now, of course, people, well-meaning people, come up with all these arguments. And the arguments they use, most of them I heard from the mouths of demons a long time ago when we were in deliverance, telling you can't do this because of this and that and the other. They're arguments used by the enemy. Look at 1 Corinthians 5, 4 and 5. He's talking about a case of extreme sinfulness in the Corinthian church. He said, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of what? That the spirit might be saved in the day of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. Sounds like somebody had something wrong in their soul and body, doesn't it? But it sounds like Paul was interested in the flesh being destroyed, if necessary, that the spirit might be saved. Let's look again in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. Of course, when you go into Thessalonians and Timothy and Titus, you know that's Grandpa, his son, which is Timothy, a little shorter, and Titus is a little bitty fellow. That's how you know which way they go. In 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they might learn not to blaspheme. These are men causing dissension and problems in the church. And they had gotten to such a place, Paul delivered them up to Satan. Look at 2 Timothy 2. That will work, by the way. Just be careful. Be sure the Lord's telling you to do it. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Are you getting a picture of some people who have played the fool and gotten hung up? Hung by the heels? And these are people inside the churches. Let's look a little further. Well, first of all, there's basically, somebody's reduced to five major arguments to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that a Christian can by no means have a demon. Let's look at those for a minute because you'll bump into these and variations of them. For instance, they say the Christian is inhabited by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit cannot coexist with the devil or with demons. Why? My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside, and there is no way that the demons and the Holy Spirit could live side by side. That's what the Scripture says. It doesn't say any such thing It certainly does not. Let me ask you something. You've got an old sin nature. If you don't believe it, read Romans. That old sin nature is just as filthy, rebellious, and rotten as any demon that ever lived. That's why they get along so well together. And in that old sin nature, the Holy Spirit lives right alongside. But where is the Holy Spirit? Sealed up in the Spirit. That's why when you pray with a prayer language, you pray out of your spirit. That part has been saved, cleansed, and is inviolate. 1 John talks about the new man sinneth not. He's sealed up in the Spirit. And that's why you can pray. The Holy Spirit gives you utterance to pray pure prayer, unaffected by the body or the soul. And that doesn't mean you shut down and don't pray in the other. You're supposed to pray in the understanding. Pray with the Spirit also. You need both kinds. Now, that's one of the arguments. And then you'll hear this. 1 John 3:30 said Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And when Jesus comes in your heart, He destroys the works of the devil. He sure does. But He does it in accordance with His Word. And He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name shall they cast out devils. And that comes right after evangelism. First, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Second, throw out demons. Now, another pious argument that comes, well, the struggle for the believer in Romans 6 and 7 is presented as a struggle between the flesh and the spirit, not as a struggle with the devil. You heard that one? That sure sounds religious, doesn't it? It is a struggle with the flesh and the spirit. But remember, the flesh is the place where the demons rest and gain their strength. This is why many of the demons carry the names and are exaggerated characteristics of the sin of the flesh. Because they roost in the flesh and they exaggerate and strengthen the pushings of the flesh. The old flesh nature, the sin nature. Now, you'll hear this argument. Believers are delivered from the power of Satan, as Colossians 1:12 and Ephesians 2:1 through 3. And indeed we are. We are delivered from the power of Satan, but not automatically. My spirit was delivered instantaneously. Bang! I was born again. It wasn't a process. I didn't grow into it. But it wasn't long after I got saved, I found out I still had problems. Wasn't with salvation, that was fixed. It was with the flesh, the old body and soul were giving me problems. Now, this deliverance from the power of Satan becomes a battlefield. It's pictured in the Old Testament, by little and by little. Now, if we think it's automatic, then why isn't every Christian perfect? Now, you think that through. These people who say, well, Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Well, that's indeed He was. However, this deliverance is not automatic in this life. It becomes a matter of moving against the enemy and taking the weapons of our warfare and attacking the enemy. I'm telling you people, most of the things fought about in the churches have nothing to do with spiritual things at all. I mean, in some churches, the biggest argument is who's going to sing the solo on Sunday. Or what color is the ruffle going to be on the new nursery curtain? I mean, that's really a powerful thing. I mean, you know, the nursery committee, they're locked in battle about this thing. I mean, that's crucial. If you don't believe it, you see how many hurt feelings and wounded spirits there are. Of course, they'd do away with the Sunday school. They'd make a giant step forward. Not scriptural. Even Bill Gothard's come out against it now. Last seminar, he attacked the Sunday school. Said, it's not scriptural. I said, praise the Lord. That's what I've been saying a long time. In Old or New Testament, there's no basis for Sunday school. Children are to be taught in the home. Mom and Daddy are supposed to come to church, to the assembly of the believers, and the Word of God be preached, followed by signs and wonders to get them so charged up, they go home, and they have something to teach the children. Obviously, not much has happened. About the only sign you see around most churches is the one that tells you what the name is. The wonder is anybody comes back the second time. Because there's not really much going on. That's sad. It ought not to be true. I've never seen so many do-nothing Christians. You know, you hear people talking about the end times. We better stock up food and things like that? Well, you better. You say, oh, the ravens are going to feed me. Oh, wonderful. I didn't know you had an Elijah ticket. I've got news for you. There are more Joseph tickets than there are Elijah tickets. If you've got a Joseph ticket, it won't cash on an Elijah Raven train. And frankly, friend, I've been out across the field. I haven't found many people tangling with Jezebel, and that's what Elijah was doing. That's why he didn't have to stock up. Elijah wasn't warned ahead of time. Joseph was warned for 7 years. We've had more than 7 years warning people. You're welcome. Now, a lot of times, you know, people, another argument that comes, the Christian has protection. In Ephesians 6, the great armor, the shield, the helmet, the breastplate, the loins girt around, and the shoes, and all of this. That's right. But this armor, if you notice, is all against enemies coming from the outside. Isn't it? Why? Because there's another way to deal with the enemy within. That's to cast him out in Jesus' name. Then you only have to face the enemy from without. Now, of course, I know what it is. It's sort of like the story somebody told, and I think it's very apropos. They tell about a lake way out in the mountain somewhere where people went fishing. And this particular fisherman, he went out with his boat, and he caught fish a lot. And he used to hear people talking about catching fish that were 3 foot long. And he'd never seen a fish over a foot and a half long. So he knew they were lying. One day he was out in his boat, he put down his line, and guess what? He pulled up one a full yard long. He looked at it, took it off the hook, and said, just another line. He threw it back. Did you know that that's what some people are doing about deliverance? They say, there are no demons in Christians. I hear people talking about it, but they're just making all that up. Couldn't be. Couldn't be. So guess what? One pops, bluey, right under their nose. Ah! Starts screaming, throwing on the floor. You say, now do you believe? Just another lie. They won't believe even the evidence of their eyes. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Chuck Smith, Maranatha Ministries out Calvary Chapel in California. You ought to see the track he put out, Attacking Deliverance. Incredible, that man. One section of it, he was attacking deliverance. Christians can't have a demon under no circumstances. Yuck, the usual, you know. But one paragraph was so interesting. He said, you ask me, what do you do then if you say that they can't have demons? What about these Christians who cough, who gag, who vomit, who writhe on the floor, who scream, who curse, who fight, all of these things? What do you do with all these? He said, I don't cause such unscriptural manifestations, so I don't have to explain them. I could not believe. That's in black and white printed. It's just another lie. They won't face it. They don't want to face it, people. But I'm sorry, we are in the time when they're going to have to. If you run across somebody who's just dead set against deliverance, you know what to do? You know how to fix it? It's kind of nasty, but I'll tell you how to do it. Once in a while, we have somebody take the cudgel against us in the past, not recently. But one preacher attacked us on the radio, by name, that just poo-pooed the whole idea. This is several years ago. I heard about it. I didn't hear him, but people tell me about it. I said, so the next time church met, I said, I understand Pastor so-and-so doesn't believe that a Christian can have a demon, and he's making fun of the whole idea. I said, he has a nice, large congregation. Let's just pray that the Lord will have one explode right under his nose up close so he and his whole congregation can see them. They won't come over here. So let them see it right up close so they can believe. It took a couple of weeks, but bluey! And sure enough, somebody he knew beyond the shadow of a doubt to be born again exploded. Guess what they finally had to do? Guess where they had to bring her to get help. Talk about the mountain coming to Mohammed, I'll tell you. It was the only place that help could be. God has said, I'll make your enemies come to your feet if you'll be faithful to be what I want you to be.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.